I was just thinking of their reaction in the morning when they went to get up and get in her car. Like, giant turd sitting on
the... I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Hello, and welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, or JARP. I'm one of your two hosts, Sean.
And I'm the other half, Russ. Unlike anything on the internet, this podcast is about two friends. And Sean and I have been friends since we were 10 years old.
And now we're really, really old.
And for this podcast, we review the first episode of a new streaming show.
And then pair it with a movie from our childhood and let you know if you should watch it or avoid it.
Bless it or cast it out!
Oh, my skin burned after you said that.
Oh, you must be the devil.
There was a devil in me. Now with that, Russell, what are we reviewing this week?
We are reviewing HBO's 30 Coins. We're looking at episode 1, Cobwebs.
Oh my God, I heard so much about this show.
Who hasn't heard about this show?
Have you not heard about 30 Coins?
It stars a bunch of Spanish actors. So let me see if I can pronounce. The mayor, Paco, is played by Miguel Angel Sylvester.
Ooh, that's...
I've butchered his last name, I'm sure. So I was thinking that we would probably never know any of these people or any of the films that they've ever been in before or TV shows. But Miguel was in Ferdinand, the 2017 animation movie about the bull. Did you see that movie?
No. I know. Now I know what you're talking about. Yes.
You got nothing?
No, I'm just going to say, being a parent, I perusing through Netflix, the kids aisle. I've seen the thumbnail for Ferdinand.
But you actually haven't shown your kids Ferdinand. You haven't gone
down. They might have seen it. I don't know.
Free range on what they can watch on Netflix.
That's right.
You just
Netflix,
leave the room.
Pornhub, YouTube, go ape shit, kid. Whoops. There's our swear jar.
That's the swear jar.
You know what? I was going to try and do this whole episode without swearing.
Were you going to try to do the whole episode not referring to your kids watching porn, too? But then
now that's a little more trickier than trying not to swear.
You dropped the ball on that one. He also, Miguel was also in 2018's Ibiza film with Gillian Jacobs and Vanessa Beyer. And I have seen that. That might also be on the Netflix. I can't recall. But it was kind of a funny show. Vanessa Beyer's hilarious.
I'll take your word for it.
But then we get into the second lead, which is Elena, who is played by Megan Montaner. I didn't recognize anything she's ever been in. So she may have just been sticking to the Spanish films that I haven't explored yet. And then... Edward Fernandez, who plays Pedro Vergara. And again, I don't recognize anything he's been in. I think he was actually in, now I won't be able to recall it, but he was in a movie with a couple of Hollywood leading Spanish stars.
Like Antonio Banderas?
Almost. Okay, keep on going. Pick the Spanish star.
And the Salma Hayek? Maybe the Salma...
Keep on going.
She's a Mexican.
she's
a Mexican.
She's from Mexico, is she?
Not a Mexican.
Keep on going. Name another Spanish actor.
What's her name? She's also really, really good looking.
Penelope Cruz.
That's her.
Yeah,
Penelope Cruz.
She's in it.
Okay.
And then name another one.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Javier Bardem. Okay, right. So Javier Bardem and
Lou Diamond Phillips.
And Lou Diamond Phillips.
Star.
Is in a
movie. In a new comedy from Spain called Paco My Taco.
And they're in a movie. I think a movie is called like Everyone Knows or something like that. And that has Edward Fernandez in it as well.
Great.
So they're not completely unknown actors. They have been in other things that I've seen.
So for the Coles notes, mm-hmm. We don't know a single person in this. We don't know a single person who was in the production
right.
crew of this. And Yeah, and this is across the pond HBO Europe made series.
Exactly.
That has made its way on a shipping container over to North America.
I don't know if that's how they send films over, but yeah, you're right. You're
this
right.
This one, I think they had to.
They might. It's part of the mystique.
Dangerous. Locks and chains and.
So let's pull open the curtain and reveal that Sean and I get to choose a series each episode. So we take turns each podcast. This was my turn. I didn't know what I was going to do. So after we recorded WandaVision, I went on to my iPad and I started opening all the apps like the Amazon Prime and the Netflix, and nothing was exciting me that was new. And then I saw this on the Crave app. So I clicked the trailer. I watched the trailer. The trailer like blew me away. I was like, oh man, this trailer looks awesome. And I picked it and I texted it to you. I said, 30 coins. That's what we're doing. And then I watched the show. But it was
Let's not spoil it for anybody. Yeah. We'll touch on that. Let's mention that this is in Spanish. It is subtitled.
Subtitles.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with getting a little foreign culture in your blood now and then.
Hey, nothing wrong. I don't mind subtitles at all.
Russ don't mind the odd foreign film every now and then. Or foreign series in this matter?
Sure.
Let
me just talk about this show as what I read from Internet Movie Database. An exiled prince tries to escape his demons while living in a remote village in Spain.
An exiled prince or priest?
Exiled prince of Spain.
Princess.
Once I was the king of Spain.
Now you're in a lot of trouble.
Exiled priest. A priest. He is a priest, but this is Father Vergara, right? Played by our well-known Edward Fernandez, who we all know. Father Vergara, he is a priest, an ex-priest, but he's also an exorcist. He's also a boxer, and he's also an ex-convict.
And he's also Fidel Castro in hiding.
Though that's an amazing combination of character traits for one of our three leads for the 30
points.
If this
guy doesn't score an outright five on character,
exactly. That and when I watched the trailer, and it a lot of the trailer featured around this father, and I was like, oh man, that guy's super charismatic. He looks like, oh, what a story, a priest who looks
jacked. Badass.
Yeah, he looks badass. I'm like, okay, this is cool. Again, that was in the trailer. Yeah,
to give you guys all some visualization of this guy, he does look like Fidel Castro, but jacked, with super beard Fidel Castro, super jacked. This guy's a mean looking, mean looking priest.
Yeah, he drinks scotch, he smokes, he vanquishes evil. He's
got an arsenal of guns,
he's got a six pack. This is everyone's hero. This is our guy.
Let's just not hesitate anymore. Let's get into it.
Yeah. Okay. I wrote my recap here, but
you can tell how serious Russ took this show from his recap.
I just kind of want to start.
Or he just gave up. Yeah, I don't know.
Want to start talking about it.
fair enough.
I guess it's kind of like a murder mystery horror is I guess the genre here, but I don't think I've laughed more in a show out loud than I did watching 30 Coin.
I don't know if I laughed or I was just disturbed. I mean, and it was just wonky and disturbing. It was
funny.
Comical in a sense, like, what am I watching?
What are you watching? And so I think for that, like, if you go into this show preparing to enjoy yourself and laugh and have a great time, I think, you know, you're not going to be disappointed. So, okay. So cold open, we open, it's in Geneva, Switzerland. So you see this old white guy, never trust an old white guy, walking around Geneva, Switzerland for like over a minute. The guy, like, it's just shots of him walking down the streets of Geneva, as in like, hey, the production company just really wants you to know that they filmed in Geneva. There's no point to it. He's just walking around Geneva, old white man. And then he gets into a bank and he just starts shooting people. immediately. And maybe that's the jarring context of him walking around for a minute and a half just along the streets of Geneva. Suddenly he's in a bank and now he's shooting people. And it's... And there's no like rhyme or reason of who he shoots. Like sometimes, he's obviously shooting the security guards, but he's also just shooting like business people running away. And then he holds.
Yeah, he takes the odd shot at just the innocent bystander. But then he lets some poor lady just walk right by him when they like cross paths. Yeah. Cross paths to go in the elevator. She comes out. He goes in, and she's unaware that he just blew away about 12 people in the lobby.
Yeah, and again, super funny. That's funny. And then so he's in the elevator. That he just held the door for the lady to get out. He gets in the elevator, and there's a close up shot of his face, and the music changes, and then from there it just feels like I don't know. I feel like it was we made a horror movie it's on YouTube called Bloodthirsty. And I feel like it's just like, that's the vibe I'm getting. It's like a student film, like the sound, like got all their music from SoundCloud. What is that called?
Copyright free.
Yeah. Copyright free music. Like they paid a couple bucks for it. Like they actually didn't pay someone to compose anything. They just like found the music somewhere online.
This is HBO Europe. And I mean, you know, the Spanish, the Spanish soap operas that are so dramatic and outlandish and stuff like that, but they love them, you know. Maybe that's just kind of the vein of this one, vein of this one. And maybe it's just what Spanish people dig. I don't know.
That's
pretty fucked up.
You just swore a lot.
I did. Sorry.
I know, that's fine. It also like when he's shooting, like it's, and again, technical term, you correct me, he's shooting people, but the blood bursts are added digitally. Right? Okay, you can tell the blood is not, it's like the special
it's
effects.
It's not practical.
It's not practical. It's all digital. Very digital blood.
Right.
And again, that reminds me of the horror movie that we made together called Bloodthirsty. Check it out on YouTube.
Like the guy's not taking any hits in the face. Everything's in the chest. You know, everybody else is getting shot in the chest and stuff like that. It's, you know, an easy place to composite, you know, some blood stains and stuff like that. Whereas if you try and do a headshot, I mean, that's going to cost more money digitally and or practically to do. So they're obviously cutting corners.
A cheap way to do a little fight sequence in the beginning of your episode when you're trying to really make a mark here.
It's like parsley. Looks great. Tastes great. Looks great.
And it's cheap.
It's cheap.
I was in a film in 2008 called The Valet, and it's on Internet Movie Database. It's my one credit, and I'm credited as the back flipping cop. And this is what, and I was in on screen for maybe a second as I got shot, but I pretty much like twisted my whole body and almost backflipped when I got shot by a bullet. And that was how well I can act, but that reminds me of every like person in this first scene. Every, as soon as they get a bullet, they almost just like jump out of the like the bullet just f-ing takes them out.
Like the smallest 22 caliber bullet like blasts them over,
and the guy like
cross
dances off the screen.
Were you really in a movie?
Yeah, I was in it. Was filmed in Vancouver, a bunch
How,
of
why did I not know the
yeah
this?
It was like I just showed up for a
you
day.
You never told anybody
no,
about this,
I
did mean, you?
I don't know, I just
You're
showed
not
up
very
for the
proud
day
of this.
I didn't get paid, I just did it was just fun, and it was a bunch of improviser friends that were doing it, and I've never
and you
seen
said
it.
It's Valet and it's on Pornhub.
Your daughters must have seen it then.
I think they recommended it to me.
Okay.
Yeah, so they think it's Uncle Russ. Interesting.
Back flipping cop. Okay, so this Switzerland, this old white guy, he's in the bank. He shoots everybody. He opens a security deposit, whatever those things are called.
A
security deposit box. He blows it up. He takes out. Throws the cash aside and finds this coin, this one coin, leaves the bank, shoots some more people, doesn't shoot other people. It really doesn't make sense what he does and does not do. Gets into a car that's waiting outside for him. And all the seats are plastic seats, which is good when you've got like a body that's bleeding. Yeah, everywhere. A
little preemptive move. They knew this guy was going to get messed up. Yeah. And they're like, white leather.
We better put the plastic white leather on the seats
here. I think we better wrap them up.
Yeah. Did your parents ever wrap we had a front room in our house, and there was plastic on the couches in the front room.
I never understood why people, I mean, I know to preserve the, would they take them off when guests would come?
So that was the idea. So you had a special guest come over, everyone sits in the front room and everything's pristine.
I thought people would still just sit on the plastic, and I'm like, well, why even get a couch, if you're just going to sit on plastic?
That's my assumption anyways. I think that if you were only sat on couch plastic, then it probably meant that you weren't a very special guest.
Yeah, or your parents are dicks.
Yeah, well, Sean's coming over, so don't take the plastic off.
Yeah, you guys, I'd rather you just sit on the plastic, eh? that Davis kid shits his pants all the time. Didn't he shit on a car? I don't want him shitting on my couch.
You didn't. Tell a story.
I got to tell that story.
You got to tell the story because you just mentioned it.
Oh my God. My manager might be listening to this right
you
now.
You said you shit on a car.
Yeah. Okay. I said that. Sure. But now you want me to go into details. Okay.
I feel like there's some justification. I feel like you need to extrapolate this.
I shit on a car in grade 9.
Yeah.
It was a grade 8. Grade 8.
I don't know.
It was 13 prior or 14 years to old. Us experimenting with alcohol and drugs and girls. So it was grade 8, I think. Anyways, we were hyper as hell. We had nothing to do. Aimlessly walking around Poco one night. I don't know. I guess... trying to get in good with some of our new friends. I don't know, but we decided I had to take a dump. We were walking around. Thought it'd be funny if I took a shit on the hood of someone's car. And I was just thinking of their reaction in the morning when they went to get up and get in their car. How did giant turd sitting on the hood. I'm sure they probably just paused for a second and were like, no, that's not that, is it? Really shit on my car?
How did we ever get to this point in an evening when we thought that was a good idea? Like, how did the conversation even come up? Do you think you said, like, hey, I wonder, I'd like to go shit on a car, and everyone just thought they dared you to do it?
Probably. I don't know how it got to that point. I just went from I have to shit to I'm shitting on the hood of a car.
And the one stipulation was that you required someone to go get you toilet paper in order to do it. So someone went home.
I left it on the top of the turd, like a cherry on top for the
So someone comes out of their house in the morning, sees a pile of human poop on the hood of the car with a little signature of toilet paper.
Oh, I hope it had some like corn in it or something. Okay. It
just doesn't make any sense.
Everybody in the world starts fucking judging me. I was really young.
You were 13 or 14. Should have known better.
13 wasn't 14. God. Yes, I knew better. Yes, I knew what I was doing. We all thought it would be really funny. I was trying to make friends. I didn't have any friends. Shitting on a car was the only way for me to get in the in crowd. Believe it or not, that story is pretty funny, but it is not the most embarrassing thing I've ever done either. So,
right. Yeah, I'm surprised that you were good with that one. Some of the stories I want to tell you don't want me to tell.
No.
And I find they're not as embarrassing.
Oh, wow. For some reason, I can stomach this one a little bit easier than the other ones. And now everyone's hamster wheels are turning. What else?
What else has Sean done? Did Sean do?
Okay.
So, anyways, the
guy
man
stole a coin.
Has a coin. He gets into the car. Plastic. There's plastic on the seats, and so then
some shit on the car.
In the back seat of the car, waiting for him, is a priest with aviators on, kind of like an American Psycho looking motherfucker. Excuse me for swearing. I'll put that in the swear jar. And he right away. I think he rips off like a stone that was around the old white guy's neck.
He's got an
neck,
amulet around his amulet. Neck.
And that's basically been keeping him alive. So as soon as the amulet's gone, you know, this man who's been shot many times from inside the bank just kind of folds and he's dead now. He's no longer got the life in him. And then you see this American Psycho priest Terminator take the coin and open up a briefcase, and he kind of fits the coin into a slot as if they're, you know, this is one of 30 potential coins that he will be collecting along this series. And that's it. That's our cold open. Kind of cool.
Guy looks like he's from The Matrix.
Yeah,
Who's the bad guy from The Matrix, Agent?
Mr. Anderson? Hello?
That's Mr. Anderson is Neo.
Is Neo. Okay, Neo Anderson. Hello? Yeah, I don't know.
What's his name?
Mr. Anderson.
Shit, man.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
That's not quite sure. It. Yes. Patrick Swayze.
Julie Newmar, thanks for everything.
Yeah, so it looks like these coins, obviously with the title, 30 coins, but there's something significant about these coins.
Sought after.
Good and bad are searching for these coins is what I think this show is about.
Sure. Yeah,
bad guys at least.
Bad guys at least.
Bad guys from The Matrix.
So this
with
is
that priests.
Cold open, right?
Okay.
Right.
Done.
Okay.
Cut to credits.
Opening credits. Right. So now I feel like the opening credits is like a show in itself.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's watch the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Right, and it's not like there's some skull imagery throughout the opening credits, but it's mainly shot like an episode of like Hercules or Xena Warrior Princess. Like
reminded me of the movie 300.
Right. Yes. A very exhausting for opening credits that you'd have to see every time you watched an episode of 30 Coins. Like you got Jesus carrying the cross. You got him being crucified, and again, all this blood digitally added afterwards, which just seems silly. The Romans are laughing at him. And then here the Romans now are paying off Judas, who obviously was the backstabber of Jesus Christ. And so Judas is now like, he's been paid off for betraying Jesus. And then Jesus kind of looks down from the cross and laughs at Judas. And Judas is like, oh God, I got to get out of here. And then Judas hangs himself. And then the coins fall on the ground, and then the Romans turn into zombies, and then everybody goes to grab the coins, and this is the opening credits.
I was with you until like Judas hung himself. I did not see the coins fall or the zombies.
Yeah,
I gotta go back and watch that.
Yeah, that's the one thing I watched.
It's a little more subtle or something.
Yeah, yeah. They're just like, because you can just see. So Judas is like hanging from the tree, and then there's these shots of all these Romans cheering, but their eyes are blanked out. Like they're.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I saw that. I thought you meant zombies, like flesh dripping off. Raised from the dead. I'm like, where the hell were those? Okay.
Maybe zombies.
Okay, we're on the
right
same
word.
Page now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, exactly. Imagine watching that week to week. And it's harsh, man. It's like the passion of the Christ in about 30 yeah. seconds here every week. Yeah. I don't know, man.
So again,
that's harsh.
The show's kind of kicking ass. This show's funny. It's like a lot to take in. It's pretty gruesome. And this is where we start. And then after that, we go into kind of where the rest of the series or the rest of this episode focuses on is like a town in Spain.
Yeah.
And
believe it or not, we still haven't got to the most fucked up part of the show either. So it's coming. You guys brace yourselves.
After credits. It's late. There's a storm outside. They're in a barn. They are giving birth. Like a cow is giving birth. And obviously, like we know, because we've seen Sidney Sitkers and the first episode of Yellowstone, it requires human support to birth a cow.
And it brings people together.
There is a lot
of... good plot device is right. a cow birthing scene.
Right. So in this case, in 30 Coins, they're birthing a cow, a calf, and there are a lot of people around. And maybe that's for some reason, it was an interesting spectacle. A lot of people, like, there's people that work there. There's people that are just, like, don't work there. They're just from the village. And they're all just hanging around filming the birth of the cow on their phones. They don't deliver a calf. They deliver a real human baby. And this is where we are introduced to one of our other leads. Her name is Alina, and it's played by Megan Montana.
The veterinarian delivering what was supposed to be a calf.
What was supposed to be a calf. And she's the only one that makes sense that she's actually there. Everyone else really doesn't make sense.
She pulls out Chucky from Child's Play out of this close-up shot of a cow's vagina, which I did not need.
The baby, like you said, it was a mechanical doll looking like it did not look like a real baby at
all.
No,
it looked like Chucky from Child's Play.
So if the baby was fake, do you think the cow's vagina was fake or do you think that was a real cow's vagina?
It's gotta be fake. That would be like animal cruelty.
Right.
Can
you stick the mechanical baby back in the cow's vagina and just pull it out? We didn't get that. Take seven.
Where'd that PETA representative go? Oh, she's gone. She's at craft services. Quick. Film it.
We got to get more coverage.
Stuff it in.
Shut that cow up.
Shit, she's coming back.
And action.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's got to be fake.
It's got, yeah. Okay. So fake vagina, fake cow vagina, fake baby. Here we go.
A vet, a mayor, and a priest all walk into a bar.
Right. Sounds like a HBO film from Europe.
Yeah, sounds like an HBO Europe recipe for some god-awful Spanish TV show.
Okay, so so everyone's just like, oh my gosh, like we just delivered a human baby from a cow. Who do we call? We call the mayor. Let's call the mayor. So this now introduces our third main character, which is Paco, the mayor, and who's played by Miguel Angel Sylvester, with a Spanish tinge. He's a beautiful looking man, obviously an elected official, and he comes in to kind of figure out what's going on so he can solve the case.
Here I come to save the day.
So the two of them now take the information to the priest, because now to bring the trifecta of the three main characters together and try to solve why did a cow just give birth to a human child? And the priest just is like, it's a fake. So they look at the footage that was taken by cell phone and they realize that there's a little bit of like the view goes off and back together again. And the reason why they don't film the cow's vagina the whole time is because the barn doors erupt open, right?
Yeah, yeah. And let's note that the vet takes a break from birthing.
There's like 13 people. Yeah, watching so many the other birth people
that could close the barn doors, but they burst open and with her surgical gloves still
the
on.
The woman giving like with hands in a cow's vagina gets up and closes the doors.
Right, right. So they do the old. They do the old swippity swap while she's closing the barn doors.
That's what the priest thinks. He's like, wait a second. When you interrupted from birthing a cow and you went to close the barn doors, that's when someone swapped in the real baby and took the cow.
It's just like the PETA thing,
right? Yeah, it was a fake.
When you went to craft services, we shoved something up that cow's vagina.
A human child.
And when you came back, you thought it was the real deal.
So now they're like, okay, it's a fake. And that's the conclusion of the story, the end.
Of that part.
But now, for some reason, the vet and the mayor, which is now they're now acting like detectives. They're
going, so if it was a fake birth and this baby, where did this baby come from?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right. Yeah. Where did this baby come from? So they track it down to a girl, like a teenage girl who they believe was pregnant and maybe had her baby early and wanted to hide it. So they're like, okay, yeah. So exactly. They're trying to figure out why would someone fix this?
Right. And turns out they were wrong on that assumption as well.
Right. It was actually a demon child. So I've got the fact that the mayor and the vet are working as detectives, going around town for collecting all the evidence, because obviously there are no cops in this village, and
none that are responsible, anyways.
Right. And then there's like one of the guys that was at the birthing of the cow was like the town fool, like kind of like the jester of the town, like kind of
like a Rami gypsy. Merrick. Beaten up with the sledgehammer.
Yeah.
He looks like Rami Merrick and someone took a sledgehammer to his face. It's like, now you're Antonio.
but he knows, Rami Malek knows, the fool knows that this is a possessed demon child. So he grabs the baby while the mayor and the vet are running around trying to solve the crime, the case. He grabs the baby and dangles the baby off a tower.
Oh.
To kill it, because that's the responsible thing to do. A little dramatic, but the responsible thing to do.
And not before alerting the whole town by ringing the church bells as well.
I guess he wants to make a spectacle out of it. Come on out. I'm going to throw the baby off the tower.
Everybody look at me. Toss the baby off the tower. It's our new game for...
Hello, family.
It's our...
Come in, bonvenue.
Come in, family.
Anyways, and now the priest is back involved. All, you know, our trifecta characters are back in working together. We start to figure out the backstory of this priest who used to be an ex-convict because he killed a boy. And we don't know at first why he killed the boy, but we learn later on that he was exercising a demon.
Yeah, and he didn't actually kill the boy. Yeah, the flashback reveals that the possession killed the kid.
Right. And again, a possession.
And because he was the priest there at the time, everybody pointed the finger at him.
I guess so. Even though everyone saw, because there were a lot of observers during the exorcism, that he did not touch the boy. The boy just died after he took a coin from his arm. Which is the coin now that the priest holds, which is now linking it maybe to our overall story arc here.
I hope everybody listening is getting all this and connecting all the dots. You know, I'm sure it makes total sense.
Yeah. Don't watch the show because that won't help. So one of the cool things that I don't know if you notice this, is that the fact that within like a 20-minute span, all the characters said... Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, and Google.
Yeah, what's up with that?
As if they were being paid by every single social media company.
Yeah, here is kind of this desolate, small Spanish town. Doesn't look like they have much, you know, I'm sure there's running power and all that. But, you know, I don't think anybody's rocking around with the latest gadgets and technology, yet they're all concerned about... social media for
and
some
even if they are reason. It's just hilarious that the script determined that within like a 20-minute chunk they were going to say like every major social media company.
Maybe they're looking for a sponsorship.
Maybe
the show sucks.
Maybe every time, whoa, don't blow your load.
I'm just
here.
Kidding, it's awesome. Go watch 30 Coins right away.
And this is the part where that's really, to me, the show is really getting into its other kind of genre of like soap opera-ish. Like everything seems like everything's very dramatic. There's this whole conflict. I don't know why has to be a marital conflict, but this Paco, the mayor, has a wife.
Yeah, he can't just be honest with his wife, telling her, but he's got to kind of sneak around with this better looking woman.
Super manipulative.
Yeah, and he's always worried about getting, you know, caught or what the optics are of it. And it's like, well, why don't you just talk to your wife about it and tell her what you're doing rather than sneaking around? You know, you're making it worse for yourself.
Why does this have to be a conflict in the show? Like, why is this a choice that the writers and the production company made? Like, make him a single mare. Like, he's already a six-pack chiseled 30-something mayor. Why does he need to have a wife? Why does there have to be a marital issue?
And she looks like she hasn't slept in weeks, and of course, man. She's huge dark circles under her eyes. She looks just like...
Right, and that's the way they're going to justify the fact that our hero is justified to sleep around because, oh, well, wouldn't you if you had a wife that was like that? Like, it's just like he's going to do a terrible thing, and it should be based on consequence, not just like, well, of course he sleeps with the other girl. I mean, she's much better looking.
You know, she rubs his nipples. You know,
so
she rubs his nipples.
Did
you notice that scene?
Oh, like when they're lying they're in like bed, in he doesn't bed. Have his shirt on, and he's...
Yeah, and he's like lies down on her, like on her stomach, you think, to like get sort of comforted, and you think she's gonna like maybe like go through his hair or something. She starts rubbing his nipples.
She's just
and
tuning just, into Tokyo. She's like,
and he's like all taking comfort in it. And is that like a Spanish thing? Like the guys, like they're getting their... I don't know. Like I tried rubbing my nipples after and. And I find it very comforting.
I don't know. I don't know if it has to be a Spanish thing. Maybe it's just a thing. You know, maybe it's just like his whatever thing? You're into, man. Like, you
hey,
know,
hey, hey, just try rubbing your nipple for a second. Does like, you find that comforting?
Yeah.
You're not doing it, Russ.
Oh, sorry. Am I supposed to be tweaking my nipples?
It.
My nipples
right
now? Oh,
do
actually,
it.
I kind of like that. I don't know.
Okay, well, shit. I stand corrected. Maybe it is a comforting thing. I found it kind of odd.
The fact that it wasn't accompanied with actual some sexual tension is unfortunate, but this is the part when it kind of leans more into the soap opera-ish feel and the drama and the love aspect of it. This is when I start to fit. This is, I think, the downfall of this first episode to me. I think if they just focused on the horror and the mystery and the freaking priest, the fact that he's a boxer and an ex-con, I think that would have been a little bit better.
But I'll circle back to my comment, you know, about the cultural and what they like and stuff like that. You know, the soap opera is probably their wheelhouse. So
right, it doesn't resonate, unfortunately, for me.
So the priest just hands the vet this coin,
right?
And he's like, it's no big deal. Here's a coin, blah, 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 blah. But he knows it's a big deal.
Of course.
And he hands it to her. So why is he giving it to her for sort of to hide it a little bit? Or is he giving it to her to use her as bait?
The plot required him to give the coin to her. The plot required them to talk about the coin so that... That's okay. So that's how they were able to figure it out. It doesn't make sense. The coin came from the inside of a child's that he was blamed killing a child's skin. It came from inside the boy that he supposedly killed.
Pushed it out of his wrist.
And he just, now you take it. That's fine. I don't need it. I've just been carrying it around with me. That's fine.
Yes.
That's fine. You take it.
Yeah. We're not worried about the coin. We're worried about Instagram and Facebook.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
And WhatsApp. So I don't know, let's conclude this whole episode and just say, remember the child that came from the cow's vagina? Well, that baby...
How could I forget?
That baby is now a 4-foot-tall demon baby.
And
the people, I guess, that own the cow farm, the dairy farm, are now taking care. And they're like an older couple, and I guess
they previously lost a child.
So they're kind of a little bit blinded by the fact that this baby has become 4 feet tall.
The farm mom is, and she thinks it's a blessing from God or the heavens, right?
You know? She seems to be a little bit possessed. And the husband's kind of like, I'm a little worried. I wouldn't say I'm 100% worried, but I'm a little worried that this baby that came out of a cow's vagina is now 4 feet tall and looks like a demon.
Yeah. And it's only been, 48 hours, maybe.
I'm just
a little concerned about this. Liver milkshakes.
Right. She's cutting up pieces of dead animal and feeding it to the baby. I don't blame him for being concerned. I think when you're a new parent, you jump to conclusions and you're just worried. You're just anxious. It's a lot.
I'd be a little bit more concerned than he was.
Anyway, so she obviously because he's a little bit concerned, she kills him. And she kills her husband because she's possessed by this demon baby. But our priest, mayor, and veterinarian team get to the house. Some creepy shit happened. The baby now transforms into a huge spider, undead spider creature.
I don't know what it is, man.
It's now like 50 feet tall, and it's kind of cool.
It's this
looking.
Huge creature thing. I don't know. A mashup of this baby and a thing from Stranger Things. And I don't know. I don't know. What I want to know is how were they able to let this old lady overpower them so easy? I mean, she stabs them with the pair of scissors, no problem. Kicks the other vet down the stairs, you know, offs her husband, no problem. I mean, she's not a big person, and you know, chiseled, good looking mayor. He's obviously goes to the gym, so he's got to have better reflexes than that. And she just works him over with a couple stabs and kicks him down the stairs. She must be possessed or something and have some sort of extra strength.
She's got some superpower strength.
Just granny juice alone ain't enough to work the room like this.
No, because she's later like throwing the priest across the room. It's some crazy shit. Later on, the battle ends up getting back into like the church where the priest resides. And there is some cool, interesting shots of like this, like, I guess the demon spider has this really long neck, and then the neck kind of, and you can see the baby's face in the neck. And, you know, some corny horror stuff that is
bad creature effects.
Yeah, but fun, but super fun and cheesy and like, and I enjoyed it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's good. That's kind of what I signed up for. That's kind of what I was expecting at this point.
I don't know. It's not the type of horror that I like. You know, I like more the Midsommar and the Hereditary type horror stuff, you know. But the creature effect stuff, it's...
Midsommar. Oh, your kids are screaming in the background. That's okay.
Is that your kids?
No, that's your kid. My kids are sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Well, my kids aren't.
That's cute. Yeah, I know what your kids are doing. You've already told me. Midsommar, Midsommar is an amazing film. I was screwed up for months after
I've only seen it once.
That film screwed me up. Like I couldn't close my eyes without visualizing parts of that film.
I love the fact that it did that to 100%, me, though.
100%.
Because you just thought about it, and you're like, what?
I could not watch another Midsommar for another couple of years. Like, I'm going to live with that film, and I'm happy to live with that film. It's an amazing film, but I don't need more. I'm more of that in my life.
You think you'll watch what that director comes out with next?
Oh, I don't know. Unless
have you seen Hereditary?
I know I'm not going to see Hereditary. No,
oh, okay.
That kind of
scares the shit out of me. No. And I watched it in like the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
And just because it really, you know.
Kids, I don't want to know.
It dives into like, you know, God and the devil kind of thing, you know, and just...
Isn't there a freaky kid in Hereditary? Looks like there's a freaky kid.
Yeah, she's got some sort of birth defect or something that. Anyways.
But Midsommar, if you haven't watched Midsommar, like drop everything. Stop listening to this and go watch Midsommar. It'll fuck you up for a long time. But it's worth it.
In a good way.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think you got to watch that movie. I think it's good.
100%. Yeah. Anyways, this episode's done.
The show's 30 done.
Coins.
30 coins.
30 Woo-hoo. Coins. I know what, if you're hanging out and you're just looking for something to do and you're ready to laugh, I would recommend watching the show.
I don't know. I think but if you
there's a lot
I
of other know, content out there.
Tons of other content out there to watch before you fire this bad boy up. I'd take a hard pass. Let's rate this.
Okay.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
Criteria, we're going to rate the first episode of 30 Coins with in three categories. One is characters, and we'll rate it out of 5. One is story out of 5, and one is interest out of 5. Right. You go first, Sean. I'm designating you to go first. Okay. What was your score for characters?
Characters, I mean, I gave it a 2.5. And, I mean, a priest, a vet, and a hot mayor, You know, like I said, they all walk into a bar. I don't have a punchline for that, but I mean, what a mashup of characters. They all have a bit of backstory to them. You know, the vet's got a troubled past. The mayor's got something going on in his past too, and the priest. I mean, there's nothing but drama back there. So they gave these characters some depth, mind you, the silliness and everything surrounding the episode itself. But we're talking about characters. These guys had a little bit of depth to them, not too much, but you know, they weren't super weak either. So middle of the pack, 2.5. Yeah, yeah.
I'm giving it a 2. They, you know, the priest itself would have gotten all 5, but the fact that the show is not about the priest, it's about other people too. They lose 3 points right off the bat.
They didn't focus on the priest as much as he would have liked.
I thought they were going to focus on the priest. They didn't. They focused on Paco and the veterinarian.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be the main driver, but he's not.
He should have been. But yeah, so for me, 2 points because the priest is an ex-convict and a boxer. And story, Sean, story out of 5.
I gave it a 2, but really only just for kind of creativity, if you want to call it that. I mean, like, I want to be a fly in the wall in the room with the executives when they pitch this, you know? Okay, get this. We got a cow's vagina, right? And we got a small baby from Child's Play, right? We don't got much money. Let's put those two things together and see what we get.
Oh, I think Fidel Castro's a little bored, wants something to do. Great, let's get that guy too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I kind of feel bad giving it a 2 because it should probably have less. But you think you gave it too much? Maybe 2 too much, but I'm going to stick with it 2 just because how they mashed all this together didn't make sense, and the balls that it took for the writers to present this to some sort of studio executive.
Yeah, like very ambitious. I would give it like a 1.5, like very ambitious.
But you
like
would, or you are giving it a 1.5.
I'm giving it a 1.5. Okay, there we go. Like the execution, like you said, is just, it needs something more. But yeah, very neat concepts. They're playing with some interesting ideas. What's your interest rating out of 5?
I wanted to give it a 0.
I think you should.
But I would think a 0 means like I just would not be able to get through the episode. So I gave it a 1 because I made it through. It was tough. It was tough. But man, I got no desire for episode 2. I don't give a shit about what's going on. No interest about 30 coins. I'm ready to put this piece of cinematic gloriness in the past, my past.
I'd give it a 1. If someone put a gun to my head and told me to watch it, I'd say yes, with pleasure, no problem. I'm happy to watch this again. If every other streaming platform and television series disappeared, I'd be like, great, I'm watching episode 2 of 30 Coins. But because the world is a fantastic place and there's so much out there, I will never continue with this show. But it was funny, and there was some interesting parts to it, but there's nothing to draw me to continue.
So what did you give it?
A 1.
A 1. Okay, same as me.
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Temperature check. This is where we go back and talk about things that we were talking about before, but not as much as in depth.
I know you've now complete Yellowstone, haven't you? You've gone.
Yeah,
you've
completely finished Yellowstone. Can't wait for season 4. Season 3 ended on a giant cliffhanger. So let's hope this COVID pandemic does not ruin Yellowstone.
Yes, hopefully not. Amazon Prime has some deep pockets. And the Paramount Network. Yeah, you know, hopefully they're able to figure it out.
I saw Paramount Network is coming out with their own streaming platform, so I'm kind of hoping they don't shift gears over to that, because I don't want to have to subscribe to another one. I don't know if I would just subscribe for that Paramount for like a one show, unless they start streaming their movies direct, which could be a thing because HBO Max is starting to do that too. So we'll see. Things are shifting, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we're fine.
How they're delivering us movies, right?
Yeah, we're fine up here in Canada. I think as long as Amazon Prime has the rights to it in Canada, I think we'll be good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll talk kind of funny up in Canada.
Now, WandaVision.
Oh, I haven't. Okay, told you where I am in Yellowstone.
Yeah, yeah. Have you? Sorry.
No, I'm only in episode 4, season 1 still.
Oh, you've only gotten through the 3.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's fine. Yeah. I'm finding that
wasn't as much your cup of tea as it was mine.
Maybe not.
Not that you didn't like it, but you know, you'll watch it maybe eventually.
Yeah, I think I will. I will continue to pick away at it for sure.
Does your wife watch? Did you guys like watch series together?
We usually pick a show. But right now we're doing Schitt's Creek and Flack.
You started watching Flack.
Yeah, we started watching Flack.
You keep starting all these ones. I said we were gonna do it, but now I'm not gonna do it.
All right, well that's fine.
Now you ruined it. Now I can't do Flack anymore.
Well,
because you already started watching it.
Flack off.
You know, you need to show some restraint and not jump on every new series right away and give us a chance.
I'm sorry, my wife is priority. If she wants to find a new show, then we'll watch a new show together. You know, it's not just about you and your podcast, your flacking podcast.
Our podcast.
Oh, now you say our. WandaVision. I'm up to date with WandaVision. Amazing show. Great show.
I'm up to date with it too.
Did you? Oh, yeah, of course you are, because you regret everything you said and now you love it.
I don't. No, I don't regret everything I said, but if we were to go back now.
In a time loop.
And rate WandaVision according to the first 5 episodes.
Oh.
Not for the first one, but for the first 5,
mm-hmm.
My ratings would be different and higher. Because episode 4 really did it for me.
Was that the first one outside of the bubble?
Yeah.
The first 5 minutes was probably the most entertaining television that I had seen for a while. Based on the concept of all MCU, understanding where MCU and the recent snap and all that kind of stuff, I was on the edge of my seat for the first 5 minutes of that episode.
And then, episode 5 is what I sort of wished the format was taken with the first couple episodes, where there was more back and forth, you know, WandaVision, outside WandaVision, inside WandaVision, outside WandaVision. Definitely got a new respect for the show, especially after episode 5, and just their attention to detail on mimicking these old sitcoms. Did you know what sitcom they were?
Family Ties, the most recent
Family Ties. I used to watch that pretty good. So as soon as I started picking up on that, I got really nostalgic I was like, wow, like. Even the set design and stuff. Like I know the Dick Van Dyke, but maybe I wasn't so blown away and impressed by the Dick Van Dyke because I never grew up watching it, you know, but Family Ties I did. So watching that episode, I was like, man, like this hit a good spot. I hit, good. Hit a couple check boxes for me. So
nice.
I'm in a WandaVision now.
Nice. I knew you would be.
Yeah. No, I knew I was going to keep up with it. I just, I think it's like you said, to quote my friend Russ from Just Another Review podcast,
Jerp.
My favorite podcast. He said, you know, they're asking a lot from us in these first 2 episodes. And I think they did. And they relied on you to be a Marvel Cinematic Universe knowledgeable, not so much a fanboy, but you needed to be knowledgeable of the MCU in order, I think, to enjoy this series.
Possibly. I don't know. Like, I feel like it might be a good starting point for people that aren't into the superhero aspect of superhero films. Like, if they're like, oh, I've seen a superhero movie, I get it. The, you know, lots of action, That doesn't interest me, but I think a lot of people could use this as a starting point for their interest in the MCU. I don't know.
You see, the internet's getting all jazzed about the dynamic duo. I don't know their character names, but the Asian FBI agent and then the astrophysicists, or
he was in Ant-Man and she was in Thor.
Yeah. But anyways, those two together, I get there's been some internet dialogue about people petitioning for them to get their own show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Something along the vein of an X-Files, you know, like two sort of detectives going through supernatural, extraterrestrial, whatever stuff. And I'd be sold on that. Yeah,
because I think that's Randall Park. I should look this up before I start talking. He's hilarious. Quite funny. Yeah, I love that guy. And then
he's got that real subtle humor, you know.
Yes, he just has a really good ability to like deliver
lines and stuff like that. Yeah, he's not like a physical actor, but you know, physically comedic actor like a Jim Carrey or anything. But he's also
Kat Dennings, who plays Darcy Lewis, who was in a character in the Thor movies. Yeah, and she's also really funny and very charismatic actor. So good combo. I haven't heard this, but I would sign the petition
totally
for that show. Awesome. So that's our temperature check. Now we've paired 30 coins with the 1988 film that both you and I watched together, I'm sure, in your basement many times.
No, this was in your... We watched this at your house.
Right, you actually... you have a memory of this.
This was in your VHS catalog, Russell.
Your family
VHS catalog, not mine.
Okay.
We watched this at your house.
Okay, we watched this at my house. Serpent of the Rainbow.
I remember the first time watching this, just glued to it. And despite... you know, it's questionable quality near the end. I found it so scary, and real religion and practices and stuff like that. Stuff that is real.
Right.
You know, then that's when shit starts getting real scary for me. When they start getting like real life sort of like religious things into it, you know.
Yeah, I looked up like a Ebert review, and he gave it 3 out of 4 stars. And he said that was one of the things that like people who actually know the subject matter well says that this is one of the first movies that actually take this type of material seriously. I don't know now, watching it now, it seems a little cheese, but obviously back then, maybe there was a little bit more.
I enjoyed watching this again, actually. Yeah. I did. It's Wes Craven directed, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street guy, the Scream series. But this is a more serious tone of a horror movie than those. Those can be more campy, especially, the Scream series and, you know, even the Nightmare on Elm Street. They got comical after a while. But this he took more of a serious approach to this. Mm-hmm. Got some really crazy authentic locations for it. Yeah. At one point, they actually were shooting in Haiti until things got a little hairy, and then they had to relocate the production, I think, somewhere else, like the Dominican Republic or something like that. But there's one scene where, geez, there must be 1,000 extras when they're doing that sort of spirit walk up into the mountains in the forest and the giant convoy of people all carrying their candles up there, you know,
which you can only assume was like probably a real event that they just did a little guerrilla scout.
That's what
style
I started
filming.
Thinking too. Yeah, maybe it was some sort of real religious ceremony that they filmed and they were able to tie it into the story.
Yeah. Yeah, so this.
But impressed with that, nevertheless.
Yeah, this movie stars Bill Pullman,
young
Bill Pullman. Which to me, he's always Lone Star from Spaceballs.
Oh, really? He's always the president of the United States for me from Independence Day.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I know. So I have a hard time ever taking Bill Pullman too seriously because of that.
Well, and Spaceballs, I mean, at least Spaceballs is a masterpiece. But
Spaceballs was supposed to be funny, right?
Right.
I guess Independence Day has its humorous moments, but I don't think
You're acting supposed as to be a done president. Genuinely.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's supposed to be
not laughed at as the president. But.
Yeah, overall, interesting rewatch. I would definitely recommend someone going back to this. It did make money. It cost $7 million to make. They made $19.6 million at the box office. It was a little bit of a, yeah.
So $12 million of extra cash back in 1988.
Was pretty good.
Enough to make, enough to make a sequel anyways, if it only cost $7 million.
Yeah.
Could have made Serpent 2. Zombies back.
So I don't know why I paired these two things up. I think I thought there might be a bigger connection, but to me, I think just the horror genre of them both, obviously dealing with undead spirits, but
picked Serpent of the Rainbow prior to watching.
Yeah, I picked Serpent of the Rainbow.
Right, so you were kind of going off assumptions of the trailer and stuff like that, right? Yeah. And what you remembered from Serpent of the Rainbow. Yeah, like I said, I enjoyed watching this movie again, but it was good, and I liked sort of the subtleness of some of the scary parts and all that. But then, like, the last 10 minutes, it gets all, like, kind of creature feature, and I was just like, shit. Like, if you had just kind of kept up with your same formula that you were doing for the first hour and a half of this movie, you could have ended on a good note, and this movie might have had some staying power. But as soon as the creature effects and all that shit came in, it dated the movie, and
yeah.
And I was like, you kind of ruined it for me, Wes. Like, if you kept that out of it and kept it a little bit more grounded, I think you've got a nice
psychological kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Something that screws more with your head than it does with your eyes.
Right.
Yeah, like when Bill makes it back, when he initially gets back to the dinner party, he's back to the US, and he's having sort of a wrap up with his sponsors and stuff like that, and the wife of one of his
sponsor,
right? Yes, financial
funders.
Yeah. She starts having a seizure and chowing down on her wine glass like a voodoo princess, you know, and stuff like that, where it's sort of out of the blue, and she was obviously being possessed from afar.
Back.
I found that really scary, and especially when we first watched this movie back in the day, I remember that scene really sticking out to me. It's very, very scary to me.
Yeah.
Just the power of the voodoo, and that a voodoo priest could have that much power and reach to control somebody.
Yeah, you're never safe. You think you're safe. You think you're home.
You're never safe from the voodoo witchmaster.
And then he's got to go back. There's a lot of like there and back again kind of stuff. He goes back to America. He goes back. So yeah, it was good. It's good to rewatch. I actually kind of have a little bit of regret. It was one of those things I turned on and tried to do other things at the same time. So I was, which it was probably wrong of me. I should have really just kind of focused in on the movie, but yeah, Surfing the Rainbow. I would definitely,
I didn't watch it all in one go. I watched it in about, I had to watch it in about three chunks.
Nice. But. That's probably how I should have approached it. Go watch Surfing of the Rainbow.
Yeah.
Don't watch 30 Coins.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless, of
course, with the old one, and you can pass on the new one.
So this is the time of the podcast where we kind of talk about what we're interested in, what's exciting, what are we watching, what are we binging outside of our subject matter today. So Sean, what's taking your attention in these days of 2021?
Nothing too much that I'm like super stoked about, but I remember that Coming to America, that sequel, the sequel of Coming to America.
That's hitting Amazon Prime, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe it's, or Netflix or Amazon Prime. I think so. Whatever. I got both. I don't care which one it comes on. But yeah, no, I believe that's coming out pretty soon. If not this week, I believe mid-February. I believe. So it's got to be coming out this week. I hope. We'll see. Yeah, Your Honor is with Bryan Cranston is supposed to be really good.
I think it just got nominated to on some Golden Globes, so it might be worth checking out. No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's don't watch it. Okay, what's this No Man's Land? A family grieves the death of their daughter in a suicide bombing. No way. That's too much for me. I May Destroy You. Me and my wife gave the first two episodes a go.
It's pretty good so far, eh?
Yeah.
Some real shit. That real shit that show deals with.
It's different. I know why. I can see why you like it. You kind of like, you've got a bit of a flair for the UK stuff.
I like UK stuff. I like, like it's dramatic. It's very, but it's very centered. It's very, you know, it's real shit. Real people, flawed people making real choices and having to live with them.
Yeah, some very natural characters, right? Yeah.
Definitely recommend that one.
Yeah, you got me into Monty Python. You introduced me to Monty Python and that type of humor. My parents were
not
never...
Not that I May Destroy You has any connection to Monty Python other than it's across the pond.
Yeah. That's
but yes, you're yes. I love British shit. It's the best.
Not on the hood of your car.
Just never had a British man shit on my car, but maybe I'd be okay with it.
Maybe
with his charming accent. Sometimes. I mean, I think at once upon a time you could make the argument that the British did everything better. Yeah, I think it's hard to make that choice now. Make that statement now, but yeah, they make a lot of good content. Those Brits, I don't know what I'm kind of like you. I have already kind of teased that the wife and I are kind of getting through slowly with Schitt's Creek.
And Flacky, what was Flack like?
And Flack was okay. It's fine. It's
okay.
Fun.
Well, then I'm glad. If you were like, oh, it's so good, but then I'd be like, man, why couldn't you just wait?
Yeah, it's, but, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's neat. Like, Anna Paquin is really good in it. But it's just like, it's kind of just this fun look into these publicists living double lives and having to deal with really crappy celebrities. And
She won the Academy Award when she
was like a child.
Yeah. I've never seen that movie. The Piano?
The Piano.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie.
Thanks for listening. Obviously, you can get our episodes where you got them, either on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Please give us a score. Leave us a comment. Subscribe, rate, let us know.
Yeah, give us some feedback, even if there's something you don't like, you know, and we'll just continue to do it and piss you off.
And guess what? We haven't received anything as of yet. So if you gave us a review or comment, we'll definitely focus on it. We'll read it. Of course we would.
Yeah, so make a funny, username, and we'll read out your username too, and,
Comedy Bang Bang username.
Yeah, dumps on car 69.
You can also email us if you want to, just yell at us directly through an email. And you can email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com. That's jarppodcast@gmail.com. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.